We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Haw, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
You know, you got to keep your head straight when you come in the building and you know you're not preparing for anything specific. You got to give yourself, well, this is how I handle it. I give myself goals and saying, okay, I did this week. Going through arm rehab, I did this amount of pounds this week. What do I want to get to next week? Those are how you set your goals during rehab. And yeah, the mental challenge of not being able to play is tough, but a lot of guys go through it.
The mentality, Rich, for him is you know, try to get stronger each and every day. You know, he hasn't been through any of the live stuff at all. So just each day, try to stay positive, try to get stronger, and then just see where it takes us by the end of the week. But hopefully he'll be ready to go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You heard from Akeem Hicks there and Matt Nagy, the defensive tackle and the head coach. And let's get out to Rich Campbell. He covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Rich.
Morning, Rich.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well, and I guess, you know, Akeem is one of the big stories this week, and his availability, and I think we all expect him to play. I'm sure that that won't be determined initially. They'll try to wait a little bit, I would imagine, but how will that help if he is back, and how do you think his training has gone? And you worry about two things. You worry about what kind of football shape he's in, and then you worry about the injury itself and how strong his arm will be.
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting elements to Hicks's return here is that after week three, and that's kind of where I put the line on when Hicks was playing and not playing. He did play 8 snaps against the Raiders after week three. But really, week three, Packers, Broncos, Redskins, the Bears were 4th in the NFL in yards per carry allowed. The top 5 rushing defense, that's great. Right now, they are 3rd in the league in yards per carry allowed. They actually improved their ranking in 10 games without Akeem. So that says a lot about the guys who filled in for him, Roy Robertson-Harris and Nick Williams specifically. Obviously, Eddie Goldman, Bilal Nichols were in the lineup this whole time. Jay Rogers, who is the reigning NFL Defensive Line Coach of the Year, deserves a lot of credit for holding that group together. So that's not to say that the Bears are a better group without Akeem.
I think that's what you're saying, Rich. Rich Campbell says Bears didn't miss Hicks. I'll tell them.
Yeah, he'll be happy to hear from you too. They have kept the ship above water, and that's a testament to all those other guys. Now, other offenses have, because Akeem hasn't been in there, they've devoted more attention to Khalil. That's a fact. So, you would think that because Akeem is back, if he's at full strength, if he's really strong with his upper body and pushing guys around, that maybe it creates some different dynamics in the way the pocket collapses and the way they can get pressure with 4 guys. We'll have to see. I'm with you, Mully, that you got questions about his football shape. You have questions about his ability to hold up against contact. You have questions about his strength. I would be surprised if he played a full-time normal role, especially with where the season is right now. I mean, if the Bears, they couldn't have been eliminated last week, but their playoff hopes are thinner than a strip of dental floss right now. So you are taking a risk of putting him back in there if he is not ready, and they're going to have to decide that this week.
What have the Bears done consistently in this 3-game winning streak that they need to do most against the Packers, Rich? Or is it as simple as saying that if they get continued, you know, positive play out of the quarterback, that they can win on Sunday?
I think the answer is both. that the most important thing is that they're getting better decisions from Mitch. And one thing that's been interesting since the locker room post game Thursday night against the Cowboys is an acknowledgement from several different players about the team not pressing anymore. And this is an implicit acknowledgement that they could not handle expectations. And we wondered about this back in July and August, right? How would this team handle Super Bowl expectations that let's be very clear, they welcomed with open arms. They helped create them, comparing themselves to the 85 defense and things like that. They brought a lot of this on themselves, and they could not handle it. I don't think there's any other way to conclusion that can be reached. They did not handle expectations well. And now when you hear, you know, a player like Charles Leno, a position coach yesterday, Harry Hiestand, saying guys aren't pressing anymore. We're just playing more carefree. We're just playing loose. We understand that if something goes wrong, hey, forget about it. Go on to the next play. Well, that's what happens when you get to the point where you have nothing to lose and your season is just about down the drain. It took that fall for them to be able to reach this type of carefree. We're back to that comfortable underdog role. And so if that type of carefree play continues, and I think you see that first and foremost out of Trubisky, that they'll look more efficient offensively, that maybe he makes quicker decisions and, you know, he protects the ball and he runs a little bit more because he's just playing without that mental block. And you see what it's done for him the last 2 weeks. They've looked better.
I'm curious, when you think about the way the Bears offense kind of came together against Dallas, can you keep that up with Mike Pettine? Is he the kind of coordinator that isn't going to be nearly as predictable as maybe you saw last week with a Tampa 2 and Rod Marinelli? Is the pressure on Matt Nagy more than Mitch Trubisky to keep things flowing?
Yeah, I think that's part of it for sure. And one thing Nagy mentioned on Monday was that when he went back and rewatched that Week 1 game, how often the Bears were in third and long. And he's right. They had nothing in the run game. They were in third and 10 and third and 11 all game. And part of that is success on the early downs. And the Packers' run defense since that night overall has been awful. I mean, you could look at some of these performances the Packers have allowed in the run game defensively, and you look at the Bears in Week 1 and go, man, you missed the party here. This is the team, the run defense, everybody gets well against. And so that would be the part that I think you could duplicate from the Cowboys game, is that, you know, David Montgomery has had his second and third highest running totals of the season in the last two games. That's no coincidence that the Bears offense is doing better. There's balance to the play calling, and also they're playing with the lead a little bit. And so it's about winning run blocks. And as we look at four victories in five games, that coincides directly with the switch of Cody Whitehair back to center and James Daniels back to left guard, an experiment that, you know, did not work, flat out did not work. They had to reverse it, and they've done a little bit better run blocking since then. They've done a little bit better with communication since then, and I thought Dallas's front was going to give the Bears all kinds of problems, and I was wrong. So Green Bay, while they have those two great edge rushers, the two Smiths that have combined for 21 and a half sacks, I think they can run the ball on them and stay in third and manageable, and keep drives alive that way.
Rich, big week for the Bears secondary. Prince Mukamura probably will return. What is his status, and how big of a week is it for HaHa Clinton Dix returning to Green Bay to play the Packers at Lambeau?
Right. To start with Prince, I would expect him back this week. I think that was the understanding when he got hurt on the final play against Detroit, that it would be a one-week thing. But as he said earlier, that he hasn't tested his hamstring at full speed, and they can be a little streaky, and he's had problems with it in the past, so they will test it today. We'll have a better idea when that injury report comes out. I would expect him to be limited, and maybe we don't get clarity, but yeah, I agree that Prince has to play in this game against a Packers passing attack that has thrown only two picks this year. They've got to do something to get their best corners on the field to slow down Aaron Rodgers. And then with HaHa, yeah, I think this is a big week for him, and overall it's a chance for us to take stock of what he's meant to the Bears. And I think the Bears have reached basically their best case scenario with him, that he would fit in within a talented group that didn't necessarily ask HaHa to be a first round caliber player, that he could just be a good player and fit in. I think he's done that. I think he's tackled. I don't know if that means he'll be back next year. Maybe he's played well enough for a talent deficient team to want to sign him and pay him more than the Bears will be willing to. But It's a nice homecoming for Clinton Dix and a chance for us to appreciate what he's done, because I think he's fit in pretty well.
Want to ask you about what you're expecting from the linebackers, and I would imagine Kwiatkowski will now be calling plays, right? He'll have the helmet on and
what he had the helmet on, I believe
he did already.
Yeah.
You know, when you lose a guy like Roquan, you can get through it initially. Certainly, we saw that with Hicks in the Minnesota game, but after that, you start running into issues. And Kevin Pierre-Lewis and I would imagine that Kwiatkowski has to be on the field. So I wonder how that will affect their pass defense. I mean, I wonder if those guys in coverage can get the job done.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I would start by saying, I don't expect Danny Trevathan to play again this season.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Bears have not put him on injured reserve, so there is something there for him. It will be interesting once the Bears are mathematically eliminated, which would happen this weekend if they lose and the Vikings or Rams win. So if that happens and we see Danny immediately put on IR, then we would know, okay, they were holding out hope in case a miracle happened that he could come back later on. Okay, that's fine. So yeah, Pierre-Lewis and Kwiatkowski. Now the Packers will have all week to study anything they can find on Kevin Pierre-Lewis, who did pretty well going forward last week. That's the thing about these two guys. They're good going forward. And Kevin Pierre-Lewis had a edge rush and hit Dak Prescott by working around Lael Collins. I mean, that's a good right tackle that KPL went around. And so maybe they can find ways to use him in that way. But the trust in coverage is going to be a real focus. And it's been like this with Kwiatkowski for his career. And he'd be the first to say it. Eye discipline on play action passes, reading keys and understanding assignments when there are receivers putting him in conflict. That's been something he's had to work on his entire career. And you would think that Matt LaFleur would try to isolate those guys as much as possible. That said, that inside linebacker position is a dependent position. It's dependent on the front. And if they get Akeem back and Akeem plays well, then it'll take some of the load off those linebackers.
Okay, Rich, free of expectations. The Bears go into Lambeau. Who are you picking?
I'm going to pick the Packers because they're playing for their seeding and they've got momentum. But I do think the Bears will be competitive up there because of this free, carefree play. You know, they're really nothing to lose. So I would say 24-23 Packers.
Hmm.
Right. Alrighty, now, let's Rich. See how the injury report comes out this week.
Yeah, I got to see
stuff,
the
Rich.
Injury
Thank
report
you.
First. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
That's Rich Campbell covering the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. I really think the injury report will be a big part of my selection eventually.
Always is. But yeah. I think that Bears can – you can make the argument that Bears could come away from this one victorious. I still not sure I'm there yet, but I'm leaning that way. I'm still fascinated by his assessment that the Bears, once the pressure was off, thrived.
I mean,
that's an indictment on everybody.
That is, that,
and I'm not saying I disagree with that. I think it's probably true.
The Bears were 3-1 at one point in the season.
Wow.
And then fell apart with four straight losses. So as much as they marvel about how great they have done to come back from where they were, how did they get there? Right? I mean, don't you have to take that into account?
Yeah, you do. You really do.
All right. 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. We got a trade. We got a big trade.
It's a big trade.
Big breaking news with the White Sox overnight. Okay. I guess. We'll talk about it next. Mully and Holmes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, I mean, he's obviously a powerful man. He's about 6'4", I think, 6'5". Well, he looks like he's 7 foot every time I see him in the box. Runs extremely well for a big guy. Can defend. Good arm. Brings a lot of qualities to the plate. And, you know, can put one in the seats as quickly as anybody. I think he's done it against us a few times. But just in general, I think he's a guy that can play right field and maybe help a club.
He's much taller than I thought.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. That is Rick Renteria, the White Sox manager, talking about Nomar Mazara, the new right fielder. And that was before the trade. Nomar Mazara was acquired via trade, I guess, early this morning, or it was released early this morning as opposed to late last night. It was after midnight that the release came out, and the news that the White Sox had acquired Nomar Mazara for the minor leaguer Steel Walker. And Mazara has 2 more years of control. He's due $5.7 million this year. He hit .268, 27 doubles, 19 homers, .469 slugging percentage, .768 OPS for the Texas Rangers. And we heard the 505-foot homer against the White Sox earlier.
Went also a long way.
Huge bomb against the Cubs. So he's beaten up on the Chicago teams. We'll see if that holds up with the rest of the White Sox schedule.
Two of the 6 longest homers in Major League Baseball last year, one against the White Sox and one against the Cubs, and he hit both of those. He is a low-risk, high-reward proposition for the Sox. They hope so, because $5.7 million for a right fielder isn't a lot of money in today's baseball marketplace. So the Sox make the deal. It was interesting to hear Rick Renteria talk about a player on another team before he was traded to his team, because he must have known something, obviously.
He's 24 years old. Rick Hahn said in the release, Nomar adds yet another young, exciting bat with upside to our lineup. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Kendall in Naperville. Good morning, Kendall.
Morning, Kendall.
Morning, guys. Yeah, was that Renteria quote, he can play right field and help us a little? What a ringing endorsement, right? So if you look at his stats, his OPS is .750, and I put a lot of stock in OPS because it's one of the most player-independent stats. And .750 is so incredibly average. I mean, I'm confident you could throw Steel Walker out there and he could scrape together 65 walks and 15 home runs and get a 730 to 750 OPS.
Steel Walker hasn't been above Class A yet. Listen, I'm a big Steel Walker fan, and I'm tormented by the trade for that reason, because I love that name and everything it associated with it. Baseball terms galore: Steel Walker, and I think though, Kendall, that this is a guy that can – he's a lefty. And Steel Walker struggles pretty mightily with left-handed pitching. At least he has in the lower levels of the minor league. Now he, you know, was a Texas schoolboy who went to Oklahoma, and there's a lot of upside there. But I think they wanted a left-handed bat in the lineup, and maybe they couldn't.
There's no question about that. This is a projection. This fits a need based on what – was identified as they were seeking left-handed hitting. They were seeking left-handed power. He only had 19 home runs last year in a year where everyone was hitting the ball out of the ballpark. That's a bit of a concern. But seeing his natural power, he's 6'4", 215. In that ballpark on the south side, you're projecting that he's going to be a force. And I think that's what this trade is all about.
Mazzara hit 220 against lefties last year.
Maybe he won't play against a lot of lefties. Maybe this is part of a platoon. Maybe this is, you know, Lurie Garcia will play, because he hits lefties better than that, and
yes,
his splits are very good. Maybe this is what the Sox are looking for to get the most out of their roster.
And I don't know if you've heard it or not, but he's a big dude.
Yeah.
He looks like a giant at the plate.
He does.
Collier's in Dalton. Good morning, Collier.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. I told you the Bears was going to beat Dallas, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You were the one.
That's it.
That's right. They're going to run the table. They're going to run the table throughout this these four games.
And then they're going to miss the playoffs with 10 wins?
I don't know about that, but okay. I know they're going to run the table.
All right, Collier. Very good. We got you on board. Break that one down. Run the table.
Run the table.
Sounds like a T-shirt. You'll see the T-shirt.
That means they would end the season on a 6-game win streak.
Fat Mike is on the road. Hey, Fat Mike.
Morning, Mike.
Morning, fellas. How you doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, I'm not a Sox fan by any stretch of the imagination. I'll be the first one to admit it. But this Nomar Mazzara kid, he's the real deal. It's a very underestimated pickup that the Sox just did. That guy hits, and he has a straight-up cannon coming out of right field. You guys are going to like him a lot. He's a player. He's a gamer.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that.
Defensively, I don't know.
I thought there were questions about his arm.
The arm seems to be the issue.
He can run, but he can't throw.
The numbers aren't terrible defensively, defensive metrics. Right, Kevin? I mean, they aren't bad, but I think these.
Oh, they're pretty bad.
Okay. Yeah.
Kevin doesn't approve of the move. He thinks the White Sox have gone on the cheap here, that they're looking for a player with controllable salary more than going out and spending and getting someone like Castellanos.
I just don't know what he does well, and there's not much of an unknown aspect. He's had four full seasons in the major leagues in one of, if not the best hitter's park in all of baseball, and what has he done?
Let's try Chris in Westtown.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. No, I just wanted to say I'm actually kind of happy with this trade, the White Sox trade. One, it's a as you guys mentioned it, it's a low risk, high reward. Two, he's younger than Castellanos and Ozuna, and therefore cheaper.
Yep.
And three, I think he's Mazzara's already MLB tested as opposed to Steele. The Steele guy, we don't have to wait another 2-3 years for him to come up.
Whether you like it or not, I mean, you do know that this guy has experience, and he's less of a projection than somebody who has Class A experience.
Maybe he's more on line with their rebuild.
The timetable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Chris is correct. It is low risk, you know, low reward. I'm sick of this organization doing low risk moves. How about you put your ass out there and you take a risk and you actually pay somebody and you give somebody a contract that's actually more established and it's done something over their career than like, just taking a flyer on a cheap player.
Like Yasmani Grandal?
Okay, that's one. Do you think this team was one move away from contention?
Well,
there are several moves away from contention.
Well, the one move will help get the pitching. Everyone will want to come here.
And they don't have any pitchers yet either. That's coming. We've all agreed, right? They need two arms in the rotation. They need bullpen help. They needed a right fielder. They still need a right fielder because at best, Mazzara is a platoon player. I just feel like this is the same old dollar store White Sox just kind of spinning their wheels around right now.
Well, they need one more legitimate arm in the rotation, at least. Two would be a luxury at this point.
Oh, I mean, two might be a necessity at this point.
Starting pitchers?
You need two.
In free agency?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm very excited about Kopech coming back, but he's going to be presumably on an innings limit,
of
right?
Of course.
They're not going to throw Cease out there for 200
you
innings.
You would think he'd be on an innings
limit. Rodon's not back till August, maybe.
So that puts him on an innings
Ronaldo
limit.
Ronaldo is pretty much a question mark right now. What are they doing?
What's your point?
I'm saying spend some bloody money.
You are really down on the White Sox.
It's hard not to be.
You are such a typical Sox fan.
No, I'm not.
Typical.
You know who's coming up next, though?
Yeah, Michael Lombardi.
My
yeah.
favorite segment of the week.
Thank you.
As I always say, and I can get my mind off White Sox chatter for a little bit.
Yes.
We can hear from our guy.
Michael Lombardi.
You couldn't get me to buy Mitchell Trubisky if you had him at a discount rack at Seeley's basement.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider.
The Bears, I mean, they've got to play too many hard games coming forward. They got to go to Green Bay and play Green Bay. They're behind Seattle. They're behind the 49ers. The Rams are ahead of them because the Rams beat them. I don't see how they get there.
Looking at the league from a front office perspective.
I want to have a convention of the Mitchell Trubisky MVP voters. I want you to come out of the closet. Like, I want you to come out and say, yes, I did. And just own it. Just, we all have made mistakes. I've had bad draft picks. You got to own it. Like, you got to own it. You know the guy that's probably ripping my ass on Twitter? It's probably got an MVP ticket from Mitch.
Michael Lombardi, every Wednesday with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score. The Score.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And on the line is radio.com sports NFL insider Michael Lombardi. You can listen to him on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on radio.com or wherever you get your podcast. Insider calls brought to you by the gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. And Michael joins us on the El Pamonte Ford Hotline, El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Michael.
I'm doing great, guys. How we doing, huh?
Well, I got to tell you, Bears alive, playing meaningful games in December, a winning record, a great performance from Mitch last week. The kid is better on the run. He's more accurate when he gets his running game going, and they got it going against Dallas, which is, again, a struggling team.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're 4-1 over the last 5 weeks. I think, you know, he's almost got his yards per attempt to 7 over the last 5 weeks, which I think is going to be the mark. And, you know, he's thrown 7 passes over 25 yards in those 5 weeks. So there is some progress. I think there's no doubt about that.
And it, how much of it is his progress and how much of it is Matt Nagy's progress? Because we always see them as somehow intertwined. And we hear that Nagy can only run a certain number of plays. He can't open up the whole playbook. But maybe he's come around a little bit, too, and is doing what Mitch does best.
Well, I think, look, you've played the Giants, right? That's one of the worst defenses in football. Detroit is arguably the worst defense in football, and the Cowboys play basically a high school coverage. So, you know, and the only game that you've struggled against are the Rams, who are run by a really good defensive coach in Wade Phillips and have a good defense. So it's 4-1, beating the opponents you've had to beat. You know, both the Detroit games were close games. You've won, made it. I'm not sure that these are games that you say, okay, here's where the progress is. I think the next coming weeks, Green Bay this week, Minnesota, I think these are the ones that are really going to form your opinion on MVP Mitch. And if he's good in those games, then, you know, then build around it. But I do think you're right. I think that he's got to be able to run the, for some reason this year, he decided to stop rushing. He decided to stop using his legs. And when you don't have to defend, you know, first of all, let's be real honest, you don't have to defend him changing the play at the line. He's not Tom Brady. So your mind, you don't have to worry about his mind. His arm, you've got to worry about. And then when he removes his feet, then all of a sudden he becomes a one-dimensional quarterback, and that becomes a problem.
Michael, could he play well enough in the final three games if this progress continues, if the Bears conclude at the end of the season that they won't seek a free agent veteran to come in and challenge him for the starting position?
I mean, look, you know, I'm sure Ryan's going to want to do everything possible to make sure that MVP Mitch succeeds. For me, I'm not buying it. I mean, look, you got to evaluate your players against the level of comp and certainly give them credit for what they've done. And you've got to beat the teams you've got to beat. And the last two games against Detroit and Dallas have been great games for them. But I think, you know, at some point to win the North, to be able to compete for the highest level, you got to beat good teams. Now, I don't think Green Bay is a great defense. I really don't. I think Green Bay is an opportunistic defense this week. But playing in Lambeau, playing in for a lot at stake, I think that's going to be a great indication. And he's got to play well up there. I think those are going to be the games you really got to mark yourself against. Because there's a reason why, you know, he's had 3 runs over 10 yards in the last 5 weeks. 2 of them came in the last game. I mean, he should constantly run. He had 10 attempts last week. Going into that game, I mean, he's had 25 in the last 5 weeks. I mean, that's what he needs to be able to do. He's got to run the football.
I really enjoyed your column this week in The Athletic where you talk about the New England Patriots. You obviously have great insight into that group, and I think we're all kind of watching it and wondering, if they have enough weaponry. I know they've tried a lot of things, but, you know, Father Time seems to be catching up to Tom Brady. I don't think anyone is questioning that. Where do you stand on that idea?
Well, look, you know, I just talked about Mitch being three-dimensional. We know Brady's never going to be three-dimensional, right? He's never going to beat anybody with his feet. He's got to do it with his mind and his arm. And when he doesn't have time to throw the ball, which last week they got their butts kicked up front. They really did. They got their butts kicked up front by Kansas City. I know that doesn't sound right, but they did. And I think that that's the more is the problem in their offensive line. And when you lose their left tackle, Trent Brown, with the San Francisco, Isaiah Wynn has filled in. He's been hurt, but he played poorly last week. They've got to get their offensive line back. I really, to be honest, I think Tom's not really as bad as I thought. I think a lot of it is the contributing factors around him. He doesn't trust receivers. So he's not going to throw the ball to somebody he doesn't trust. I think that's part of the problem he has. But their offensive line has been a real issue. Until they can control the line of scrimmage, losing Gronk, they didn't replace Gronk. I mean, let's face it. And so teams now blitz them because, A, they know Brady can't move, and, B, you know, you have no matchup outside that you're worried about. You say Edelman, well, people double Edelman, and he's not going to be the guy you're getting the ball too hot. When you throw the ball hot or you want a matchup, you've got a big guy, Rob Gronkowski, 6'6", against a 5'9 player, you're going to win that every time, even if he's covered. So there's a lot of factors going into what's wrong with the Patriots. They have 4 weeks to get it straightened out. Is it doom and gloom? It doesn't look good, but that doesn't mean it's over.
Sticking with the Patriots, Michael, your knowledge of Bill Belichick and that organization, what did you make of the accusations that they went into, they taped the sideline signals by the Bengals as if they needed an extra edge against the Bengals?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a ridiculous story. I think that, you know, I know people say, well, Lombardi, you're an apologist for Belichick. Look, well, I tell you, the Kraft production group, which does these stuff, is so far removed from the football operation, you'd have no idea. And for Bill to do anything that would even indicate he's trying to gain an edge, it's just not the way it is. I spent 3 years with him. I've spent 25 years with him. He ain't doing that. I mean, that's not happening. And I think this is just really a story that has kind of perpetuated itself. I'm not sure what they filmed. You couldn't see on television, or you couldn't see if you put somebody in the stands with an iPhone and recorded it. Like, really, seriously, if you want to steal signals from another team, and trust me now, trust me on this. I know numerous coaches, and I know one guy who used to travel around for teams filming the opponent's sideline, because back in the day, I'm so old, that we would have to relay signals in. Now with the helmet-to-helmet communication, you don't do that anymore, right? So this, to me, is really a nothing story that has nothing to do with the football operation. Did the Patriots do something wrong in Cleveland? I think they probably did. Does it relate to the football? Absolutely not. And I think that, like Deflategate, okay, I think it's a non-story. Deflategate, I was there for that. I didn't understand it then. I don't understand it now. I don't understand how they could find up. I mean, all the whole facts of the story are ridiculous. You know, it's funny. I write for the Daily Coach today. And it talks about what is truth. You know, when we feel truth, Bob Hope was sitting at home in Palm Springs, and the news broke out that they announced his death. You know, meanwhile, Bob Hope's having breakfast. The Congress, Charlie Army's brother, Dick Army, went ahead on TV and announced to Congress that our legendary Bob Hope died. Meanwhile, Bob's having breakfast. Sometimes what we think are the truth isn't the truth.
Well, I mean, certainly that is the case all over the place these days. I mean, there are alternative facts being talked about. I don't know what that means. But you know, if you follow the political stuff, you know that every conspiracy theory has a thread that everyone wants to pull on. With the Patriots, it's Ernie Adams. You know, maybe it wasn't Bill, but Ernie Adams knew about it, and Ernie is doing.
Ernie's legendary.
Yes, I mean,
what Ernie really does is Ernie's really good on the rules, right? Really good on the rules. He knows the rules better than Ron Riveron. I mean, I'm telling you, he knows the rules really well. But I don't think he. I mean, Ernie and this, like, this is what's so strange about this is this Kraft production. Do your job, which the Krafts have trademarked as their own, which is kind of funny. But anyway, you know, this is so far removed from football. And then I think you have to ask yourself, reverse engineer this whole thing. What could the Patriots learn from that film? What could they learn? Okay, could they learn the plays? No, because it's helmet to helmet communication. Could they learn where the coaches stand on the sideline? Yes, but you could do that if you just went to the press box. Could you learn what personnel groups come in the game? Yes, but you can do that when you sit in the press box. So what did they learn? What did you learn?
Well, and again, I mean, if you're scouting the Bengals that way, then that's, you know, that means you must be
seriously
scouting everyone.
You need help to beat them.
Yeah, right.
It's just they haven't earned the benefit of the doubt. They don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. They haven't earned the benefit of the doubt from people. So
I completely agree with that. I completely agree to, and because they've won so much, that even adds fuel to the fire, because nobody can really understand how they have competitive stamina for 18 years, how they've been able to win for so long. It has to be, you know, they've had to have plastic surgery. They've had to do something behind the shield, because how can they look that good for 18 years? And the reality of it is they got the greatest coach of all time, but you're right. They because of their past performance, they don't deserve any discretionary.
Michael, before we let you go, Matt LaFleur in Green Bay has the first Packer head coach to be in his first season win 10 games. What has he done so well to make that that adjustment that everybody was focused on in the offseason work?
You know, that's a great question. I'm not sure they've done anything really well. I think Aaron Jones has been the factor up there. I mean, he's the difference in their team, not Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Jones is the straw that stirs that drink when they get him going in the run game. And I think he's utilized him in the passing game really well. Defensively, now, I'm telling you, defensively, you can run the ball on them, and you can throw it, and you can make plays. The problem is they can make some plays on you. The negativity plays that they create and the turnover plays are really how they win. And I think they've done a good job of not beating themselves. Rodgers doesn't throw any interceptions, so they don't beat themselves. And half the battle in the NFL is avoiding losing before you can win, and I think that's what Matt's done a good job with.
Michael, we'll let you go. I know that Drew Locke was injured in the preseason and was unable to play, but now that he's back, it's almost the perfect scenario for a coach and general manager on a losing team, where you suddenly have a quarterback that gives the fan base hope, and you can come out of that season maybe keeping your jobs because, John Elway's not going anywhere, but you can, if you're Vic Fangio, now you got the quarterback to go with your defense, and you can sell that to the fan base.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, Vic's 5-8, right? I mean, he loses two games on a horrible roughing the passer call.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he's easily – I mean, he could be 7-5. I mean, he could be 8-5. And then he loses to Jacksonville. I mean, there's about four games that Denver should have won this year that they've lost, and they're 5-8, and they're 6-8 or whatever the heck they are, 5-8. And they could easily be ahead of the Raiders, who are declining going down. So I agree. I think – I mean, they've hung in there. They've played really well, and they've played good defense without Bradley Chubb. Von Miller's not having anywhere near the season Von Miller's had in the past.
Great stuff, Michael. Thanks a ton.
Thanks,
we appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.
That is Michael Lombardi, radio.com Sports Insider. And Insider calls are brought to you by the gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. You can listen to Michael on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you knew he was going to have that sort of perspective on the Patriots. Spent a lot of time in New England, and he does make a good point of what could they possibly learn about the Bengals that they couldn't find out just by scouting them regularly.
Well, but I mean, you know, the answer to that question would be that this is the way they go about their analytics, that they do it with every team, not just that team. And the more you know about a various opponent,
but
the more you learn. And
but,
Ernie Adams is this kind of figure, this kind of weird guy behind the scenes that was best buds with Belichick growing
not
up.
Not disputing that. I just think that
just,
this was a very clumsy
operation.
Effort, though, because if they did it this clumsily, they would be found out every week. I'm not saying they don't do that in some way.
And I'd love to see the tape, David, what they did, because then you'd know if they were moving the camera to various situations and then coming back to the sideline.
It was very loose.
You don't know what they're looking for. Maybe there is something. I don't know. I really don't, but I love the idea that the league is looking into it. Just keep looking into it. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.